Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the scripture lesson which was just read. Lutheran theologians have often said that the office of the holy ministry is the highest office in the church. And this is most certainly true when it comes to the important duties of those who fulfill the office of the ministry. It is highly important that the Word of God be preached and that the sacraments be administered according to the will of God. Since eternal life in Jesus Christ is offered through the ministry of the gospel, this office is to be highly regarded, and those who faithfully carry out these duties should be highly praised for their service to Christ and His church. However, at the same time, we must be careful not to misinterpret what it means to have this highest office in the church. Those individuals placed into this high office must be careful not to think too highly of themselves. The highest office of the church does not mean that those who fulfill this office are morally superior to everyone else. It does not mean that pastors will always have the highest and holiest of thoughts, words, and deeds in everything they think, say, and do. Sometimes this high and holy office can be brought rather low by the sinful words and selfish actions of those who carry out its duties. In our scripture reading for today, we read about the death of Aaron, the first high priest of Israel. And Aaron certainly held a very high and esteemed office in the Old Testament church. Aaron was chosen by the Lord to be the first in a long line of priests who would serve God and His people. Aaron was the one who ministered in the Holy of Holies, that most sacred place in the tabernacle of the Lord. He was the one who wore those sacred garments and sprinkled that sacrificial blood to make atonement for the sins of the people. According to the law of Moses, only Aaron and his sons would be permitted to have that priestly office to offer the sacrifices and to burn the incense in the holy tabernacle. And Aaron was a rather talented and gifted man. You may recall that when Aaron's brother Moses was called by the Lord from out of the burning bush to lead the people out of Egypt, Moses gave the excuse that he could not do this because he was slow of speech. But the Lord answered, saying, "What about your brother Aaron? I know he can speak well. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth." The Lord himself recognized that Aaron had good speaking abilities. Therefore, God called him to be the spokesman to the people on behalf of Moses. And along with his excellent speaking skills, Aaron became the right-hand man of his brother Moses. Aaron was with Moses when they confronted Pharaoh, and they delivered that message from the Lord to let my people go. In fact, Aaron was the one who threw down the staff, which became a serpent, in the presence of Pharaoh. Aaron was the one who held the staff as he stretched out his hand to afflict the land for the first three of those 10 plagues that fell on the Egyptians. Aaron was right next to Moses during many of those miraculous events that brought about the deliverance of God's people from Egypt, as he literally held up the prophet's hands during that battle with the Amalekites. But as we see in our text for today, Aaron was not perfect. He was not without sin. Aaron and Moses both were guilty of sinning against the Lord at the waters of Meribah, where they disobeyed the word of the Lord. They did not carefully follow his instructions. And this was the time when the people grumbled and complained to the Lord that there was not enough water. And so God told Aaron and Moses to speak to the rock and water would come forth. But instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck the rock twice with his staff. And because of this disobedience, the Lord said to both Aaron and Moses, "Because you did not trust me to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I give them." Because of their disobedience, both Aaron and Moses would never reach the promised land. And that was what was read in our text for today. The time had come for Aaron to be first, to go to the top of Mount Or, where he would die without seeing the land of Canaan. Now, at first, this may seem a little bit severe to our human minds. Was God being too harsh with Aaron? Was God being unfair? First of all, God did not treat Aaron any differently than he treats everyone else. The scriptures say, the wages of sin is death. All people sin, therefore all people must die. And that includes all of us here today. And one might argue that Aaron's sin was not that bad to deserve the death penalty. But yet Aaron's death was not the result of just one single sin. Yes, the timing of his death, which kept him from entering Canaan, was the consequence of his disobedience, but death itself was the consequence of all his sins. Ultimately, his death was the result of the curse of sin, which is common to all people. And besides, if we consider Aaron's sin at Meribah to be small and insignificant, then we need to recall some of Aaron's other sins. Remember that golden calf incident where he made the idol for the people to worship? There was that time when Aaron and his sister Miriam both criticized Moses regarding his wife, and they were severely rebuked by the Lord. Even though Aaron was the great high priest, even though he offered sacrifices for the sins of the people, he was a sinner like all the rest. His high office did not prevent him from sinning. His excellent speaking skills did not keep him from the consequences of his own actions. But yet the Lord, the God of Israel, is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord was gracious and forgiving toward Aaron in spite of his sins. First of all, we should realize Aaron was 123 years old when he made that long, slow climb up Mount Hor to be stripped of his garments and to die. The Lord gave Aaron a long and productive life, regardless of the fact that he never got to the land of Canaan. He died of a ripe old age, even though he never finished that task of leading the people into the land of milk and honey. And just before he died, the Lord gave Aaron that joy and privilege of seeing his own son, Eleazar, receive those sacred garments and take his place as the next high priest. But the greatest blessings from God to his servant Aaron are found in these words from our text. For Aaron shall be gathered to his people. Now this cannot refer simply to the place of his burial, as if he were laid to rest alongside his previously deceased relatives. None of Aaron's family were buried at the top of Mount Hor. Probably they were buried back in Egypt somewhere, or perhaps out there in the Sinai Peninsula. What these words mean, as Martin Luther himself believed, was that Aaron was gathered to the land of the living after his body was laid to rest. Aaron's soul was taken to be with all those other saints who lived before him and were now in the presence of the Lord. Aaron was reunited with those faithful patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who also, as recorded in the book of Genesis, were gathered to their people whenever they died. This is that gathering of the Old Testament saints into heavenly glory, those who have entered that glorious kingdom of God by grace through faith in the Savior, just as we do today. The life of Aaron provides a valuable lesson to all those who desire to serve the Lord as leaders in his church. Like Aaron, perhaps we're blessed with the gift of speaking or with some other talent, whether it's the gift of languages or writing or music or people skills, all these talents that no doubt will be very useful in service to Christ and his church. However, no matter what our gifts may be, no matter how many talents we have, these abilities do not keep us from sinning. Like Aaron, we still fall short of the glory of God, even as we carry out our duties for Christ and his church. We must never consider ourselves to be higher or holier than anyone, especially based on our office. We must be ready to put aside our foolish, sinful human pride and faithfully and humbly follow the Word of God in our responsibilities. Going beyond what God says in His Word, like Moses and Aaron did at Meribah, that not only will hurt our ministry, but will render us ineffective in the eyes of the Lord. Like Aaron, we can only serve the Lord as long as God blesses us, as long as He allows us to be His humble servant. In the end, none of us are irreplaceable. All of us are mortal. Someday we all have to lay aside those ministerial garments and let someone else take our place. But thanks be to God, we serve a gracious and loving Lord, one who treats us better than we deserve. Even though we daily sin much and we deserve God's wrath and punishment, even though we make mistakes along the way that may prevent us from reaching our personal or our earthly goals, by the grace of God, someday we too will be gathered to His people when our last hour comes. God is gracious because we have a high priest who is holier and higher than we are. We have a heavenly high priest who's not after the order of sinful Aaron, but rather who comes after the order of Melchizedek, who was a priest and a king at the same time. Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is our prophet and our priest and our king. He is the eternal high priest. He lives forever and never dies. He's the one priest who is holy and blameless and completely without sin. And Christ has inherited that permanent priesthood where He lives to intercede for us sinners at the right hand of God. He is the mediator of a new and better covenant. And we are blessed and saved because Christ was stripped of His earthly garments and He was lifted up on a cross where He suffered and died for all of our sins. On Good Friday, Christ was both our high priest and our sacrificial lamb as He offered up His blood to pay for the sins of the whole world. And now by His death and resurrection, Jesus has brought us into His heavenly kingdom and He has made us priests to live and serve Him in righteousness and holiness forever. And through baptism, Christ has given us garments of righteousness, garments of salvation made white by His own blood. And Christ has anointed us with His Spirit so that we follow Him as He leads us each day through this barren wilderness of sin. All those who serve in the church must remember we're all sinners, saved by grace through faith in Christ, just like the people we serve. And thanks be to God, like Aaron, someday we too will be gathered together with the rest of God's faithful people in His heavenly kingdom. May Christ, that great high priest, keep us and preserve us faithful in our calling all the days of our earthly lives, for apart from Him, we can do nothing. In the name of Jesus, amen.